35 minutes after the hour. And let's see, we're going to go right in with Dr. John Lott. He is with us. I think John has written a new book, and I'm curious to find it. It's The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against the Gun Control Lies. This is something I think every radio talk show host who believes in the Second Amendment probably ought to own. But in particular, I want to talk to him about a piece that he wrote in the New York Post. John, welcome. How are you?
Doing great. Good to talk to you again. It's been a little while.
Yes. All right, let's first talk about this piece in the New York Post that you wrote. What did you discover?
Well, I was mainly just talking about how President Obama frequently makes very strong statements about things before really anybody knows any facts about the situation. And last Thursday, literally just hours before the horrible shooting in Dallas, he was commenting on two shootings that had occurred the night before by police, talking about how they fit into the general racism that exists in law enforcement in this country. And, you know, he basically says that racism exists whenever there's any disparity in outcomes, you know, not taking into account that there may be lots of other causes. So, for example, one of his complaints was that while 30% of the population is either black or Hispanic, they make up 50% of the people in prison. To me, that's analogous to saying, well, men make up 49% of the population, but they make up 93% of the people in prison. Does that mean that there's gender discrimination against men? I mean, do we really want to be in a country where 49% of the people in prison would be men and 51% of the people in prison would be women? It seems like there's an obvious thing that's going on, and that is men commit a lot more crimes than women do. And to go, you know, there may be lots of problems that may cause certain groups to commit crimes at higher rates than others do, but that's not the police job. The police job is to go and solve crimes, to protect victims, to go and arrest those individuals that go and harm others. And I worried in the piece that it's important that the president try to refrain until we actually know some facts about these situations. I mean, it hasn't been a week yet, but I still don't know much clearly about what happened in the shootings in either Louisiana or Mississippi last week.
Minnesota.
I suspect it's going to be a little while before we know, and I worry that the president creates a lot of divisions by speaking out on these things before we know anything.
Yeah, you also talk about the length of the sentences based on a comment that he made. Obama said that blacks receive sentences that are almost 10% longer than comparable whites arrested for the same thing.
Right. Well, I mean, there's a debate on that. I mean, I think they're not properly comparing the differences. I think if you account for past criminal history, which is something that goes into sentencing people, in fact, that difference disappears. But there are other things to take into account. They're what we call collateral penalties, so loss of professional licenses or business licenses, inability to work in unions, can't work for the government. There's a whole range of penalties that you face, fines and restitution. And what you find is that, on average, whites who commit the same crimes as a black does actually face higher penalties in these other dimensions. So their total penalty, I would argue, is much higher. But he focuses on only one type of penalty and picks a portion of the literature that kind of ignores all these other explanations for why that's going on. I mean, most obvious is just trying to account for differences in criminal history. Somebody who has committed three crimes in the past, and this is his fourth crime, is going to face a longer prison sentence than somebody who hasn't committed any crimes before, and you have to really account for that.
You know, when you talk, it's like suddenly the light gets turned on. You hear these statements, and you think, well, that doesn't sound good. And then all of a sudden you come on and you say, well, look at this. And it's like the lights go suddenly turn on. Obama isn't alone, you write, in pushing these misleading claims. For example, the left-leaning ProPublica attracted massive news attention for its allegation that 15 to 19-year-old black males die at the hands of police 21 times as often as white males of the same age. Where's their mistake there?
Well, there's lots of mistakes, but the main mistake is I think you have to go and account for the different rates that people in those age groups commit crimes. And you have young black males involved in murder at, I can't remember the exact percent time, but I think it's like 10 times higher than it is for whites. And beyond that, one of the problems is they were relying on FBI data for justifiable homicides from police. And what isn't really clear to most people is that only about 1.2% of police departments in the country report that data. And those are not particularly random police departments. They tend to be, the ones that do report it, tend to be police departments located with very high percentages of the population who are black. And so it's kind of like going and looking at the rates at which blacks and whites are shot, let's say, in Harlem, in New York, and then assuming that that is the rates that you see them being shot nationwide. If you, you know, you can't just go and look at a tiny number of very heavily black areas and then just assume that that's going to be representative for the rest of the country in terms of the rate that different groups get shot.
One of the one last part of this piece that you wrote at the New York Post that I thought was great. If black victims really believe police are so racist, why would they even bother reporting crimes? If blacks think that the police are by and large incompetent, dishonest, or apathetic, there'd be no reason to turn to them for help. But they do.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, you think if the claims that were being made, if victims of violent crime, particularly black victims, believe those types of stories, that the police just don't care about helping them out, they don't care about solving crimes committed against them, and if they do try to solve them, they don't really care who they arrest. They just want to go and arrest another black person. They're not going to go after the really guilty party there. Then why report them, or at least be relatively more reluctant than other groups to report them? And yet, in fact, blacks report violent crime rates to police. Victims, black victims of violent crime, report violent crimes to police at a higher rate than any other racial group. It's about 9 percentage points higher than for whites. And that's true whether you're looking at crimes in urban areas or suburbs or rural areas. If you look at the income of victims, you know, or different combinations of those things, or even the crime rates by race in different areas and in locations where blacks face a higher crime rate than whites, black victims are more likely to report the crimes and cases in those, even in those areas where whites just happen to be more likely to be victims of violent crimes than blacks, the blacks are still more likely to report at a higher rate violent crimes committed against them than whites are.
I want to turn the table here for just a few minutes before I lose you, John. You've got a new book coming out August 1st. It is called The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. Is this like an encyclopedia of, you know, all of your knowledge here? Is this going to be a tool that I can use when I'm debating the anti-gunners?
Yeah, I probably shouldn't talk about it too much right now, though it is available, you know, for people pre-order. There's a lot of gun issues that are coming up this year in the debate, and so I tried to go through and prepare people for the different arguments that are there. There's huge amounts of money that are being spent by Bloomberg and others producing studies, you know, analogous to the studies that we just went over in terms of discrimination. And just like I went through the discussion for those, I try to go through systematically and talk about the issues that are coming up in the campaign to, so to speak, arm people with details so they can intelligently respond to the claims when they run against up against them.
I can't wait to get my hands on it. It is a Regnery book. Can they go to Regnery's website and pre-order?
You go to Amazon and pre-order.
Go to Amazon and pre-order the book. It is The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. It is really a great time for something like this to come out. Because, the lies are going to be flying out there.
I mean, every day, just about.
Yes.
So hopefully it can make some difference in the debate. I spent a lot of time working on it.
Can I point out your website? You want to give that out? Because when I'm about to go do battle on gun control, I'll go to your website and start collecting information. And you've got it. It's in a searchable format. You start off with current events on the front. It's a great resource to counter the anti-gunners. You want to tell them that website?
Yeah, they can go to crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org.
It is. I'm telling you, folks, it's a great resource. It really is. Every time I see an anti-gun story, I go to crimeresearch.org, and I get the other side of the story. And like I said, it's like the light bulb turning on. It's like, click, oh, that's what they did wrong. John, thank you for being with us today.
Oh, great talking to you again. Thanks
very
much.
Thank you. Dr. John Lott.